Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay. I thought there was somebody awake out there. Phyllis was the only one on the ball the first time. It is wonderful out. It's nice to have the temperature cooling down a little bit. I'm not one that really likes the 90s, the 80s. 70s are mine, and 50 at night. Get in the 50s at night so I can crawl under my quilt and have the windows open. But it's just beautiful weather out and beautiful time, and we've had some wonderful things going on here at Northbrook. We had a good meeting, congregational meeting yesterday. We'll have, for those of you who weren't able to attend, we will be having notes available, the minutes from the note, probably in a week. Those will be available. They'll be posted next week. Okay, one other thing I do want to mention is that we have a cake downstairs for Amanda. Just to thank her for being here. For those of you who didn't catch it at all and are unfamiliar with Amanda and what's been going on, Amanda is a graduate from Northwestern College. However, she needed to complete her internship, and she did that internship here this summer at Northbrook. She did so with much energy and much competence and just an excitement. She was just happy to be here and happy to do whatever she was challenged with. She came alongside and helped Peggy with the Vacation Bible School and the parade quite a bit. She's helped with the POP ministry. She's been involved in just every aspect she could get her hands on here at Northbrook and tried to see a little bit of everything while she was here. She's put in over 200 hours worth of work over the course of this summer. That's a lot. And her compensation for that from us is a hearty handshake and a piece of cake. And whatever gift you so choose to give. Etta passed out envelopes earlier to people. Please, those envelopes that say Amanda are a love offering for Amanda. We will get that to her. But I want you to know that Amanda didn't receive any compensation. She wasn't on salary while she was here in the work that she did. She did the bulletin for 3 months and many other duties. So just want you to know a little bit about Amanda. Take opportunity to say thank you to her before she leaves today. Okay, with that, let's turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, we're going to start with the 12th verse. Okay. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for the encouragement that you give us here today. Lord, I pray you would send your Holy Spirit to come and illuminate these scriptures to us, that you would show us how they apply to our lives, how we can take these words and live them and be them. Father, I pray for myself as I come and preach this morning that your anointing would be upon me, that the words that I say would be encouragement to your people. Lord, that not one person would go away from here not having somehow met with you this day, not having somehow been encouraged, not having somehow been in your presence. Father, I pray that I would speak your word truthfully and powerfully. I would make it clear to your people in such a way that it wouldn't just enter into their ears or just into their minds, but Lord, that it would be lived out in each day-to-day activity and become part and parcel with who they are. So Father, we give you this day and all that is in it, and we ask right now, Lord, that you, in your name, would be the one lifted up and praised. We do ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dear loved, as God's chosen people, holy and dear loved, that's you He's talking to. That's me. That's every person who's accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. He's talking to us. Now remember, in this letter, he's talking about the difficulties and these false teachings that these people have brought in. And he's saying, don't be bound up with those. Don't let those be the things that tie you up. Instead, we want you to put your focus and your heart on Christ. We want you to follow Him. Be free from the law, for Christ has fulfilled it. And now He's saying, these passages, that Christ is the one who rules. And to let Christ rule. Well, basically, these are Christ's rules, the Word. Not that only does Christ rule, but these are Christ's rules. Love one another. Bind it all together with love. To forgive as He's forgiven. To bear one another's burdens. That literally means, that word bear, to carry. We're supposed to be carrying. Bear with one another. Carry each other. You can't go all the way? Well, let me come alongside and help you. Let me carry you. Help you. These are Christ's rules. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you should love one another. That's what He tells us. That's what's being reiterated here. It's not about a list of don't do these. We talked about last week, the week before. Talking about get away of those things, get rid of those things, jettison those things which get between us and God, and those things which have to come off in order before we can put on the blessings of God. We need to take away those things, those clothes, those worries, those angers, those things that got between us and God, the evil desires, etc. We were to take those off, not because it's about don't do that. It's about those things get between us. Now, we're to put on Christ's rules. We're to do it His way. And in doing that, He gives us the way to live our lives. It's not, again, don't do this, don't do that, but you have freedom to do this, you have freedom to do that. You are free to love one another. You are free to forgive each other. You are free to bear each other's burdens. You are free to have kindness. You're free to be humble. You don't have to be arrogant. You don't have to be prideful. You can be humble. You can have patience. You don't have to have it now. In America, that's tough. We all want it. You know, if I got to wait more than 30 seconds at the drive-up window, I'm going. But we can have patience. The list of things that we can have were freedom. Christ rules. Doing it His way. That's what's here. Put this on. Put these rules on into our lives. Now, why should we put on Christ's rules? Well, first off, He is indeed the ruler of all creation. Okay? It's His sandbox. He gets to make the rules. He created it. Everything that was created through Christ. Paul talked about that earlier in the letter. Christ is to rule. Because He is, through Him and by Him, all things were created. And the one who created it, designed it, He's the one who makes the rules on how that's put together and how it's to work. Everything that's here is His. I am His, yours His. All that we can see and find. It seems rather simplistic or easy. Well, it's His, so He gets to make the rules, but that's it. How many of you have you ever used that argument themselves? It's mine, I get to make the rules. I'm the only one? No. Well, granted, that doesn't make it right, but here it is, the truth. All of creation is Christ's. It's Jesus's. So He makes the rules. He says, the way to follow Me is this way. We can't go another direction and have that work. Christ also rules through the giving of our heart and our lives to Him. When we make that commitment to receive Him as Lord and Savior, we accept Him as our Lord. We often pass over that aspect. Jesus, my Lord and Savior. We want to focus on the Savior part. Because we like the fact that our sin is paid for, we don't have to pay the penalty for it, that we can go to heaven, that we can have blessings from God, that we can interact directly with God the Father, that all our unrighteousness has been forgiven, that we like the Savior part. But we jump right over that Lord part. Lord literally means that we recognize that He is indeed the one who created us and made us. And we are submitting ourselves to His will, saying, we're going to do what You say because You are my Lord. That's important. In Matthew, back on towards the tail end of the Sermon on the Mount, we have in chapter 7 some people who speak to Jesus. Or Jesus is speaking, he's talking to them. He says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father, who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" These are people who did stuff in his name, but not for his name or because he directed them to it according to his rules. And that's what we need to do. See, if we don't follow Christ's rules, if we don't submit ourselves to his direction for our lives, then we're running around saying, "I'm a Christian, and what I do, I'm doing in Jesus' name." And Jesus is saying, "I don't know who this guy is. He's not mine. Because if he was mine, he would be doing what I tell him to do. And he's not even asking me what to do." See, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. So we need to seek after the Word of Christ, what it is Jesus is teaching us, what it is he's telling us and directing us to do on a daily basis. See, if Christ rules, then we learn the rules. How many of you have ever played a game? Any game? Come on! You've all played a game at some, and you learned the rules before you played the game, didn't you? Or if you didn't, you learned the rules while you were playing the game. And if somebody else tried to make up rules to a game that you knew the rules for, what do you call it? Cheating. You're not playing the game right. And what's the rules about cheating? Well, if you cheat, you lose. You're automatic loss. You're disqualified. You're out of there. You're caught cheating. The Olympics, they get all big deal about this nowadays. They're taking drug testing, and professional athletes, they can cheat. If they cheat that way, they're out. They're done. They lose whatever title they won. We're disqualified. We need to let the Word of Christ dwell in us so that we are qualified by listening to the Word, following the Word, following Christ's rules for our lives. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. Then as we sing songs and hymns, spiritual songs, we're to do it with gratitude. And then whatever you do, in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord. The only way we can do whatever we do in the name of the Lord is if we're doing the previous part, where we're dwelling in the Word of the Lord, where we're praying with God, where we're having that discussion with Him, talking with Him. Remember, prayer is talking to God. Remember, talking is a dialogue. Otherwise, it's not a prayer, it's not a dialogue, it's a monologue. When we just talk, we don't listen. Prayer is two-way. We need to pray, say what's on our heart, the burdens that God has put on our heart, and then we need to listen for His response. Sometimes He speaks by bringing up thoughts and images in our hearts, in our minds. Sometimes he speaks by having friends or family or somebody come up to us and say something to us. Sometimes he speaks through our devotions, our regular devotions, as we're reading through God's Word, a phrase or a scripture passage that we've read maybe 100 times before. This time it jumps out and grabs us and says, pay attention to me. This is what I want you to do today. Speaks to us many different ways. But all of them are in accordance with His Word, and they're not contrary to His Word. So we need to dwell in it so we know it. So we can hear and understand His voice. Because as Christ rules, one of the rules is that He is guiding and directing us. And we're to do what it is He tells us. So we need to listen. So that in all that we do, so that in everything, whatever it is that you do, whether in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord. As Christians, when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, one of the first things that happens is that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. When we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit seals us. Marks us as His. God says, you are mine, you are holy. The seal, boom. Mark of ownership also comes and lives, resides within us. So wherever we go, literally, God goes too. Now God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. There's nowhere we can go where we cannot find God. Not with inwardly or outwardly. Where we don't find God is when we're turning from Him. But He is always there. But more so, as we've become Christians, He is actually living within us. So everything we do, we're taking God with us. Now, is everything that you're doing worthy of God? I'll tell you what, when I get mad at Donna and I say not nice things to her, that's not real worthy to God. When I decide that I'm going to eat more than what I should, which has happened on more than one occasion, is that really a worthy action? No, it's not. Can I say, I'm eating this for you, God? Sometimes I can. Sometimes I'm eating it just because I like the taste. I got nothing else to do on board. Whatever reason. But the point is that as we go through life, we need to recognize that whatever we're doing, we're bringing God with us. And if Christ is ruling our heart and our lives, we need to ask Him what it is He wants us to do right now. Because remember, there isn't one part of our life that He's not interested in. Not one. Every aspect of our life. Our personal interactions with one another, our quiet times by ourselves, at times at work, whatever. There is no time where God doesn't want to be there. Where God isn't there and somehow part of it. Christ rules. Question for you. Is Christ the ruler of your life? Every aspect of it. If you've accepted Christ, you have professed that. But now my question to you is, are you making that true of each day? That's the challenge before us. That's how we can make this passage real for us. By saying, Christ rules within me. He rules my life. Every aspect of it. Not just when I'm in the church. But He's ruling me when I'm outside these doors. When I'm all alone. When I'm with a group of non-Christians. He's still the one in charge. because Christ rules. Let's pray. Father, help us to submit ourselves to Your rule. Help us to do so not out of obligation or guilt, but out of a desire to serve You, out of the fullness of our heart and thankfulness for Your love. Lord, let Your peace reside within us, and might Your rule be true in every aspect of our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.